of the two witnesses. How many remember that there are two witnesses that are going to be raised up? All right, in the end times, during what's called the 70th week of Daniel. That has not begun yet, but it's coming, and we're one day closer to it today than we were yesterday. And we're aiming for a showdown that's going to rock the world between God and the devil. And so Revelation chapter 11 says that these two witnesses are raised up, and they're raised up mainly to witness to the nation of Israel. Remember, there are two people of God. They're the nation of Israel, the earthly people of God, and there are the heavenly people of God made up of Jews and Gentiles that are in the body of bride of Christ that will reign with him in his kingdom in our glorified bodies. But the earthly people will be saved, and they're the Israelites, and they'll go into the kingdom in their earthly bodies, in their mortal bodies, and have babies, and be the earthly people of God in the kingdom. Two different people. I'm a dispensationalist, and I believe that. And I believe God can walk and chew bubble gum at the same time. So he's dealing with Israel during these last 7 years of Israel's chastening. They're 490 years from the days of Daniel and his prophecy of that chastening, that final chastening. And there are 7 years left of that. And that hasn't begun yet. And when that begins, God will deal with Israel under the law and chasten them under the law of Moses, and they will be doing the temple sacrifices. The temple's going to be rebuilt. The sacrifices will be restarted under the globalist leader, the European Union leader, who is going to be the beast, the Roman prince, who will be descended from Japheth, a Roman. And he will do that, and Israel will be under his sovereignty at the beginning of the 70th week, but they will be following their Mosaic sacrifices, and God will be dealing with them. Will they be believers during the 70th week in Jesus Christ? No, they will not be. They will be under law, under the law of Moses, not believing. They'll still be under blindness, because not until the end of the 70th week of Daniel will that blindness be removed from them, and they'll, as a nation, be saved. Do you know how many of them will be killed during this time? When I say killed, how many of the nation of Israel will survive and how many will not? Yes.
I'm going to say one-third.
One-third will survive. Two-thirds will be killed. And so it still is a time of chastening and judgment that they must endure in order to come to faith in Jesus Christ. And the two witnesses are raised up to witness to them, to tell them, do not take the mark of the beast, because certainly if you take the mark of the beast, you'll not be saved. And to point them to their true Messiah. Who are these two witnesses? Raise your hand if you know. Brother Eddie. Yes, Moses is one.
Elijah,
correct. And one represents the law, the other the prophets. Moses, when he died, he died with full strength, and his body was guarded by Michael, the archangel, from Satan, who wanted his body. So nobody knows where his grave is. It's kept, and God's going to bring him back. And as an old man, he's going to continue for... How long will Moses and Elijah be preaching during the 70th week? What part of it? Yes, Diane?
3.5 years.
3.5 years. Now, there are 2 3.5 years. There's one at the beginning called the beginning of sorrows, when the globalist government is using man-made crises to bring about control. By the way, global warming, all this hogwash, carbon, all this, all hogwash. They want to control you, that's all. They're just looking for an excuse while they fly around in their jets and they have their huge houses and they burn up all their carbon. They want you to eat bugs and live your life like an idiot. And that, while they're just a bunch of wicked kings, you know, that want to rule and take over the earth, but the meek shall inherit the earth. They're not going to win. I proclaim this today. But the beginning of sorrows, they'll use all these crises, just like right now. They're trying right now to launch another plandemic. They're going to launch it just as sure as I'm here, and they're going to use that to force the WHO to force nations to comply and get that vaccine. If you get that vaccine now, you ought to have your head examined, because you're going to kill yourself. People are dying right and left from that vaccine. I'm seeing them die all over. And yet they keep on the radio, oh, get your vaccine. The doggone liars. It just angers me. But anyway, beginning of sorrows, they're going to come to power. And right here in the middle, the abomination of desolations, this is the high tide of Satan. This is when his man goes into the Holy of Holies in the temple in Jerusalem, and everybody in Jerusalem must worship him, take his mark, participate in his CBDC, CBDC, Central Bank Digital Currency System. Everybody must participate, and if they don't, they will be arrested and killed by what? Head chopped off. So that's going to happen right here in the middle. By the way, for the first 300 years of church history, all the church fathers said without disagreement that the church is going to face the Antichrist and the beast and have to overcome at the end before Christ comes back. They all said it. Now, what some of these Dallas guys do that have convinced people to believe in a pre-trib rapture, and it spread through all the denominations, these lies, they've convinced them by taking partial quotes from the church fathers, not in context. If you take the full quotes, they all say that we're going to face the beast. And so, yes, this will be done in the last 3.5 years of the 70th week. At the end of that, we'll see what happens to these two witnesses, and that's what we're going to look at today. So let's go to Revelation 11, and we're going to start out in question number one. It says in Daniel 12:11, the length of time that it takes the Lord Jesus when he touches down and announces his salvation of the nation of Israel and his reclamation of the earth, how many days will it be in Daniel? First of all, Daniel 12:11. We know that 3.5 years is 42 months. And does anybody know how many days are 3.5 years? So 3.5 years here and here. How many days are that? Yeah, Sarge?
Chief, I think it's about 1,260, if my memory is right.
You're right on the button. 1,260 days. And that brings you right to the end of the 70th week. And yet Daniel 12:11 doesn't say 1,260 days. It adds some days from the abomination of desolation till the end of the Lord's wrath. It gives a little overtime of God's wrath. Instead of 1,260 days, Daniel 12:11 says there'll be how many days that God will pour out his wrath? Yeah.
30 extra days.
30 extra days. So it says 1,290 days. And we have called that period of time the reclamation period. Because remember, in Revelation 10, we already looked at this, a mighty angel at the end of the 70th week and right at the beginning of the 30 days, he does what? What does this mighty angel do? And by the way, the mighty angel we showed is whom? Who is he? Is who, I should say. Who is this mighty angel? Yes. Jesus Christ. And he will do what at the end of the 70th week? He will do what at the beginning of the 30 days? What will Jesus Christ do in Revelation 10? Yep.
One foot on the sea and one foot on the dry ground.
Yes, correct. Right, Diane. He puts one foot on the sea and one foot on the dry ground. In other words, he touches down for the first time to earth since he left when he ascended from the Mount of Olives. And he touches down, one foot on the sea, one foot on the land, to do what? Number one, to reclaim the nation of Israel as his people, because now their chastening is over. They can be saved. And guess what? They are crying out at this point. They've gone through the great tribulation, called a time of Jacob's trouble. They've gone through the day of the Lord's wrath. Now, by the way, the church will go through the great tribulation too. Because it's not the wrath of God. This is the wrath of Satan. But we will not go through the day of the Lord's wrath. Remember, the Lord's going to cut short the tribulation. The word means amputate. Matthew 24, I believe it's 31 or thereabouts, it says the Lord's going to cut short. Because if he didn't cut short that tribulation, no flesh would be saved. Elect flesh, he said. But for the elect's sake, God's going to amputate that. He's not cutting short the 3.5 years. He's just cutting short what the beast and the Antichrist are able to do. And how does he cut it short? What handcuffs the beast? What stops him in his tracks? Eddie?
Darkness,
cosmic darkening, a huge earthquake, tsunamis in the ocean, cosmic darkening, and people freak out. They're afraid. It's announcing the day of the Lord's wrath, and people are hiding in their caves, and the beast can no longer do what he does. Now, they're going to come out of those caves again and shake their fist at God again. But just like Pharaoh, God's going to hit him with another judgment and another judgment during the day of the Lord. But we'll be out of here. We'll be raptured before the day of the Lord. If you're saved and a member of the body of Christ, you will go up. Otherwise, you'll go into this period. And if you take the mark, you'll go into this period and prove that you were never saved. So listen, it's important you understand this, because this could happen in our lifetime. I don't know. It could happen 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 60 years. I don't know when it's going to all start. Yeah.
So according to this chart, we'll be here 5.5 years through the tribulation.
Well, however long. Remember, we don't know the day or the hour when Christ is going to cut it short. But yeah, somewhere during the second half.
We're in for a bad ride.
they're in for a bad ride, Brother Andy. But remember, he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And he said, even during the Great Tribulation, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world for a witness. People use that now, but really that's directly referring to this period of time. So the gospel is going to go out. And some people will be preserved alive, you know, of the saints of God. And it'll just be God's supernatural help that he'll give some. Others, he'll give them grace to give their life for the Lord. Like Paul, you know, when his head was cut off and he said, I'm pleased to do it. You'll have the grace to do it at that time. But yeah, God will do that, and then he'll bring his people through the wrath of God. And so when Christ is touching down, Israelites are crying out for salvation. They still don't see Christ, but they're crying out for a deliverer. They're crying out. They're ready now to get saved. I believe God's touched their heart to give them that desire for salvation. They're crying out, and they're ready to get saved. And so we said when he touches down, he's not touching down on the Mount of Olives. Where does he touch down? Does anybody know? Diane.
Edom.
He touches down in Edom. And so the question number one is 30 days. We've looked at that. And it says on the day he touches down in what ancient land and what modern country? And it's Edom, and it's in Jordan. And that's where he touches down, Edom and Jordan. And can somebody in a King James Bible find Isaiah 63, 1 through 3, and read that for us when I call for you? Somebody, raise your hand if you can do that. Isaiah 63, 1 through 3. All right, Diane's going to do it, and she'll be looking that up for us. All right, so he touches down in Edom on day one. And the Bible says when he touches down in Edom, he is going to get people that have been hiding. Does anybody know the first Jewish people who he has protected specifically, even sealed their forehead, protected them through the day of the Lord, through the great tribulation? They have been not saved yet, but they've been protected by God, ready to get saved, and he's protected them during this time. And he comes back to Jordan because that's where they fled when they saw the abomination of desolation. They got there and they fled there, and God protected them and took care of them there. Who are these people that are going to be the first ones to get saved? Diane again. 144,000, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel will be protected during this time. And they will be the first ones to get saved because they're going to see the Lord and they've been just waiting for deliverance. And they'll recognize the holes in his hands, the hole in his side, the hole in his feet. And just like Thomas, you know, they'll believe and say, my Lord and my God and my Messiah. And so they'll be the first ones. He'll say, come on, follow me because I am going to get other Jews, first of all, from the tribes of Judah out of hiding. And he's going to go to Mount Sinai, which is a little bit to the west, and he's going to get them. He's going to go into the Judean wilderness there and get them, which is between the Dead Sea and Jerusalem. He's going to get them out of there, and they're going to just keep following him. And then there are going to be people that are going to stop him. They come from the beast. They're going to stop him, try to stop him from marching with his people to Jerusalem. As he goes back east and then up north along the Jordan River. Now, who are these people? They're from the beast that are going to try to stop him. And what is the Lord going to do to them? Does anybody know? They're going to be coming at him, trying to stop him from repossessing the earth. Because remember, these people know they're fighting God now. And they're fighting him openly, even when he's on the ground. No fire. I mean, not coming down from heaven. No doubt, you know, there'll be some kind of fire from him, you know, coming from him. But he's going to be killing them like Joshua killed people. Remember, he took over the promised land. He's going to be killing them, and the blood is going to spatter all over his clothes. And he's going to leave those clothes and keep that blood because there's a purpose in that. He's going to, people say, well, God, you know, is this, how could God kill people in the Old Testament, New Testament, he's different. No, he has never changed. If you reject the gospel, you will be judged and God will do that. And so he will do that. And this will be his wrath. Remember, this is the day of the Lord now. This is his time of wrath. They rejected his salvation. And so that you need to behold both the goodness and the severity of God and hold those two together. Don't be humanistic. Yeah.
I remember always thinking, that's so hard. And then the more you live and see what really going on, the more you realize that it's how people are terrible.
What they're doing for children and what they're doing to in their wickedness and how bad man is. Exactly right, Patty. So these things, you know, God has to let these things get so bad so that we could understand more of how bad it really is and how we need this. Yes, you're right. All right, can you read that? Isaiah 62, just listen and read it real loudly, Diane, as loudly as we can here.
Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah, this that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength? I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat? I have trod in the winepress alone, and of the people that was none with me. There was none with me. For I will tread them in my anger, and trample them in my fury. And their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment.
All right. Just in case you doubt what I said, there it is in the prophet Isaiah, verses 1 through 3 of Isaiah 63, if you care to read it. He's going to come back to Edom, which is southern Jordan, and get them, and then he's going to travel the way I said. There are many prophetic scriptures on this that I could give you, but I encourage you to read these prophecies here. And this is all done on day 1 and 2 of his return during the 30 days when he's reclaiming the earth. It says in number 3, on day 1 and 2, he finds the 144,000. And then what I just said, you know, he explains all of that and what has been happening. And then it says, if you look down there, there's a lot of scripture I have. It says, they will join his ever-growing following after the clans of Judah, the refugees from Egypt and Syria will join them upon their arrival. Now, if you want to see that later on, you can look at Hosea 11, 10 and 11. You can look at Isaiah 27, 12 and 13. You can look at Jeremiah 30, 21 and 31. But there are going to be these 144,000, then the clans of Judah first, because Judah always went first when Israel traveled. And the Judah people, he'll get them out of hiding. And by the way, the Judah people, because during the day of the Lord, remember, there are these judgments upon the beast, and he can no longer persecute and kill those that don't have the mark. They're going to come out and fight against the beast and try to, you know, do a guerrilla warfare like the Maccabees did back in the days of Antiochus Epiphanes. And they're going to come out and start attacking the beast. So the Lord's going to rescue them. The Lord's going to rescue. Then people from Syria and Assyria and from Egypt who are Jews, God's going to make a highway for them, and they're going to come back and meet the Lord as he's traveling to Jerusalem. And they're going to be part of his entourage. So now Jewish people are being regathered back to the land because, remember, they've had to run away to scatter from the beast. And so they're all into hiding, except the ones that take the mark. They're just going along with them, you know. They'll gladly go along. Yes, Andy. When it's 144,000 that are sealed, and they're sealed right here before the day of the Lord, because he wants to protect them from the wrath of God, like Noah.
Does he actually come down to earth and seal them? I mean, how does that work?
Does the Lord come down to earth and seal them? No, he doesn't come down to earth and seal them. But if you want to look at that again, that we've looked at before, that is, remember, the two things are in Revelation 7. There's the rapture and the sealing of Israel. Israel is sealed first. So just go over Revelation 7, and you'll get that whole picture in your mind again of what he's doing. And so he seals them, and they go through the wrath. The church is raptured because we're not appointed to wrath, 1 Thessalonians 5:9. So we go up and meet the Lord in the air. So the Lord's not down.
Did he reveal himself to them just suddenly during that time?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't indicate that. Just a protection for them for the wrath of God. Yeah, no, he doesn't touch down there. He doesn't touch down till the end of not the end of the wrath, but the end of the 70th week, and just before the final wrath of God, he's going to touch down. Now, we're still in at this point during day one and day two of the 30 days, we're still into the fifth trumpet, which is the second woe. It's still going on. Remember, it started with that devil army of 200 million that killed people over one-third of the earth. So there's still a little scroll of God's wrath that needs to be poured out. And when will that be poured out? Sometime after day five of the 30 days until the 30th day. That will contain all the wrath of God. At the end of day five, sometime after it, until day 30, the final wrath of God will be poured out. And so we're still into what is called the fifth trumpet of wrath and the second woe. Remember, there's woe, woe, woe. And we're going to come to the point of the blowing of the seventh trumpet. And in the seventh trumpet, this whole scroll of the vile or shallow bowl judgments will be poured out between about day 6 and day 30 of the reclamation period. And so remember, that is an extra 30 days. So day one and two, the Lord is down on earth killing people and marching toward Jerusalem as he takes the Jews with him. And day three, somebody look up Hosea 6:2. Who can look that up and read it, your King James Bible? Raise your hand if you can do that real quickly. Hosea 6:2. Because I'm going to tell you that on day three of the 30 days, the Lord is going to come back into Jerusalem now. He's marched in there, and all of his entourage is going to follow him. Who's going to follow him right from the very beginning, wherever he goes, the 144,000? And so he comes into Jerusalem on day three. And what happens on day three? You got it, Diane? Go ahead and read it.
After 2 days, he will revive us in the third day he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight.
You see that in Hosea 6:2? After 2 days, 2 days of what? Travel. He will revive us. In the third day, he'll raise us up in his sight. That is telling you the exact day of the 30 days of Daniel 12:11, when all Israel will be saved, according to Romans 11:24-27. All Israel will be saved. The one third. The whole nation will be saved in one day, all at once. Except for the 144, they were saved when they first saw him. And the people that followed him, they've already been saved. But the rest of Israel, the whole nation, will be saved when he comes into Jerusalem on day number 3. All right? Now, interestingly, you got to get this picture. On day 1, something very significant happened. Not only did the Lord touch down, but I don't believe. Now, this is going to be really interesting. Have you noticed they don't cover Trump's rallies on Fox News or any media except for Newsmax? They don't cover his rallies. You ever notice that? And by the way, DeSantis is ascending right now. A lot of Republicans want DeSantis to win. I think DeSantis is a good governor. He's doing a good job in Florida. I don't think he should be trying to run because they stole the election. But I think he's going to pull ahead of Trump. I think there's a lot of tiredness, and they're going to put this on. Oh, you're tired of all the warfare. Oh, get a life. He's fighting. You chickens, you cowards. You're going to vote because you want peace. Oh, I'm going to vote for DeSantis. And watch DeSantis pull ahead. Just watch it. See if I'm right. Now, I know he's way behind, but watch him pull ahead. When he pulls ahead, God will take him out. I'm not saying he'll kill him. I'm saying he'll take him out of beating Trump, because God's going to put Trump in, I hope and pray. That's what I've been praying for. But anyway, when the Lord comes back, that's a significant event. Amen? And he touches down and he's killing people. Isn't that significant? Do you think the news media will cover it? I don't think so. I think they'll pan away. I think they'll be showing one thing day after day, just like CNN does now. One thing. What will they be showing from day 1 right up until day 4? One event. While the Lord is doing these great things, what will the news media be showing? Patty?
The witness is laying dead in the
street. That's it. This is where everybody's going to be watching. Everybody's going to be watching this. See them on their TVs? Everybody's going to be watching this. Because that's what they want you to see. And they're going to be saying, guess what? We're winning. They're going to say, we're winning. That's what they want to do. They want to dispirit you. Right up till the end, they want to dispirit you. And say, oh, we're winning. We're beating Jesus. Because they've come right out, and they're devil worshipers now, man. They're coming right out in the open, and they're right on the devil's side, and they're letting everybody know. And we're beating Jesus. It's been a war. It's been a rock'em sock'em. Sarge?
What are the networks going to do when those witnesses get up?
All right, now, hear what he said. Now, what's going to come onto the TV? This is what's going to come on the TV. A bloody Jesus with the blood of his enemies walking into Jerusalem and walking up to those two witnesses and touching them, they're going to rise from the dead. Right in front of these suckers. And they're going to ascend right up into heaven. Right in front of them. Right in front of them. And our heaven's going to be cheering. Yeah! But they're going to be mourning. And the Bible says they're going to be in great fear. They're going to be in great fear. Just like CNN 2016, when Trump got elected, they were like weeping. These newscasters, these devils. So I'm just saying, this is a battle, man. This is, and they're going to be raised up, and this is on day 4, because it says it's going to be on the third, it's going to be 3.5 days. So that's the half of day 4. So right around high noon on day 4, These guys are going to be raised up. What do we do? We're following the itinerary of Jesus Christ now when he comes down to reclaim Israel and to reclaim the earth. And so so they're going to follow him on day three. That's the third one in your notes. And then number four in your notes, according to Revelation 10:7, Revelation 11:15, what occurs a day after the resurrection of the two witnesses on day four? Well, somebody read Revelation 10:7 and 11:15. Who can read Revelation 10:7 from the King James Bible? Raise your hand. And then somebody else, Revelation 11:15. I need both of those because this is going to be day five. After he does this and raises the two witnesses, this is day five. Anybody have Revelation 10:7? You can read it. Okay, Diane.
Read it now.
Yeah.
But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he hath declared to his servants the prophets.
Okay, so on day five, what's going to happen? The seventh angel, which is the third woe, is going to sound his trumpet. We know from later chapters he's going to do that on top of Mount Zion. And Revelation 11:15, I'll read that. It says there, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, there is this great declaration in heaven saying that, wow, now all the kingdoms, remember the Lord was offered all the kingdoms of the world by Satan? He said, no, thank you. No, thank you, devil. I'm not taking your world. I'm going to judge your world. I'm going to defeat your world. And I'm going to reign. And he now is taking all of the kingdoms of this world. And he's reclaiming them. And on day five, the trumpet that is blown on Mount Zion is a signal. Okay, now the final wrath is going to be poured out. He only has one more thing to do. And I believe he'll do that on day five to day six, and that is to take those that have been saved from Israel now, to protect them from this. He's going to go up on the Mount of Olives. It's going to split in half, and he's going to hide them inside of the Mount of Olives. And through this period, how long will it be? Just about day six to day 30, that's all. And he's going to hide them there. He's going to hide them there. And the Mount of Olives is going to split. And it's going to go south and north, and there's going to be a valley east and west. And later on, the water from the temple is going to flow through that valley out to the Dead Sea, and it's going to replenish it with fish and everything. I've floated in the Dead Sea. It's dead, but it's going to have life and teem with life when this happens. The living waters will flow. These are all literal prophecies. I remember talking to our Jewish guy and telling him about these things, you know. And he was looking at me like this Gentile believer, you know, knows this stuff. And so that's all going to happen. And that's a glorious thing. But see, that's the final woe. The seventh trumpet now opens up seven vials of wrath between day six and day 30. And these are shallow bowls. That'll be not over one third of the earth. They'll be over the whole earth. They'll go over the whole earth. Okay? Now, the question is, after the Lord does that, blows that trumpet, and hides 144,000 and hides all these people, where do you think he goes? He's touched down on earth. He's been doing this for 6 days. Now, where does he go? Sarge?
He goes back to heaven.
He goes back up to heaven. You say, how come? Because he's going to ride a white horse, and he's going to come down. And on that white horse with the angels, not his bride, bride don't go to war, with his, he's not taking his bride to war. He's not. Taking his angels on a white horse, you know, and he is going to hit by this time the beast has the UN army, his whole army, and he's like, we're going to get him now! We promise! And they have their weapons, the highest technological weapons of all the beast armies of the UN, aimed at him. And what does the Bible say in Psalm 2 the Lord's going to do? Eddie? He's going to laugh. You ever seen a little kid try to punch somebody? It's a big person, and the guy holds his head, and the kid's going... That's what God's going to... He's going to laugh. He's going to laugh. And it's the kind of laugh like he who laughs last laughs best. And that's going to be quite a time of judgment there, okay? And he's going to pour that judgment down upon the world. Now, question is, what's he doing between day 6 and day 30 in heaven? Because the Lord's always doing something. What's he doing, Diane? The judgment seat of Christ for believers. Why is he doing it way then at the between day 6 and day 30? Because he's reclaimed the earth, and the rewards are he's going to give you your ticket and say, this is your assignment to rule over this part of the earth. Now, if you've not been faithful, don't expect to get anything. If you're a believer, but you've not been faithful and really served God in your mortal body, now that you have this glorified body, you never get tired, never get sick, never have problems. But if don't expect to get much. To whom much is given, much is required. He'll take away your reward. Don't lose your reward, the Bible says. The Bible said, don't let somebody else take your crown. I fear for American Christians. Fear for them. So you say, well, Pastor, where is that? All right, go to Revelation 11. I'm just going to show you that in closing because we're running out of time here. Revelation 11. And let's look at that. And it says there, verse 18. Please go to verse 18. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath has come. By the way, there's been a great earthquake before this in Jerusalem, and 7,000 people are killed in that earthquake. And it says, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name shall, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. So between day 6 and 30, the judgment seat of Christ. It's going to be all the Old Testament believers that are now part of the bride of Christ, because we're all going to be one. And the New Testament believers, all together, will each get our reward. Well, we know the 12 apostles, each of them, their ticket's going to be, okay, you rule over this tribe of Israel. We know King David, his ticket's going to be, you're going to be the king over all Israel. And he's going to have a big plot of land. You say, but didn't David mess up? Yeah, but he's a man after God's own heart. He kept serving God. He's going to get a great reward. I believe Elijah and Moses, they're going to sit in his right hand and left hand in the kingdom. Remember John wanted that and James and their mother wanted that. And Jesus said, not mine to give. It's going to be Elijah and Moses, I believe, in the kingdom. And so each will have their place. What will your place be? First of all, are you saved? Have you trusted Jesus Christ and gone the way of salvation in Christ? Because if you're not, you won't even be there. You'll wind up taking the mark or just dying and going to hell if you die before this. But if you're saved, what you don't show up Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday, serve God in the church. Listen, this is where it's at. This is where people get saved. This is where things happen. This is important. You say, well, the world doesn't recognize this. You're not on the news. Doesn't matter. Small and great. You know, God will give rewards. So I'm just saying, this is your opportunity. Amen? All right. So next week, we're going to look at chapter 12 and 13. Now, how many of you ever had a remote and you paused the remote? Raise your hand. You ever paused the remote? We're going to pause the remote. God's going to pause the remote next week, and we're going to look at some things that are not part of the chronology, and then we're going to take it back up in chapter 14. 12 and 13 next week. Okay. Amen. Amen. Thank you, sister. Appreciate it. What's that? The what, Andy?
For the lesson.
Oh, you didn't get the lesson?
Came in a little bit late.
Let me see here.
He's got a wedding last night. I woke up so late.
Brother Eddie, do you have any left? He does. Brother Eddie's got them because he handed them out. He's got them. All right, Brother Andy. Hey, get that book by Rosenthal, Andy, if you want to read a good book on it, Pre-Wrath Rapture. Huh?
It's easier listening.
I hear you. Well, he's got an audio, too.
I just wanted to tell you. Tomorrow.
But this is good. I mean, this, you're going to get everything here. Yeah.
I just want to say great sounds.
Oh, thank you, baby. Appreciate that. When my wife tells me it's good, it's good. Amen. Hey, John. Good to see you, my friend. Good stuff. Amen. Yes, sir. Yeah, they were burning cardboard here yesterday. Jimmy Armitage was here burning it out back. And his son, Jimmy. I remember Jimmy was in our youth group.
Yeah.
But the basement was so full of cardboard. He said, we got to do something with it. I said, why don't we burn it? He brought a barrel and we burned it. Yeah. So that helped. It's cleaned out. You should see the basement. It's a lot of it's cleaned out. We burned a lot of cardboard yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of it.
Hey, John.
Hi.
I have a question, Pastor.
Huh?
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
The Ark of the Covenant.
Yes.
And the Ark of